Hey, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Lovely Runner episodes 9 and 10. Like the silicone filler in Sunjay's lips, we get some filler episodes. But as always, this show delivers on sweet moments, timeline confusion, and kissing. We lived for the payoff. Let's dive in. Hello, Juliet. How are you? It's not morning, so you look a little more alive.
Oh, do I? I'm feeling dead. Let me tell you, because last week you canceled your hair appointment.
Correct.
This week we were gonna record at a later time, but I got a text from you that you were available earlier. And I was sitting in the nail salon.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you know, doing the calculation. Would it be worth it to get these nails done and push this later and then not have time later because I have to go pick up my kids right away? Or should I just cancel this nail appointment and run out and go record? Which is what I did. So if you see me with crusty nails, it's for the pod, okay?
I have sad limp hair. You have sad crusty nails. We're quite a pair. I am right at this moment putting on some lip gloss.
Oh.
As I mentioned, Sunjay's plump lips. I have this lip gloss plumper I forgot about, so just gonna put it on here to dab a little.
There's nobody here to impress.
It's me. I just looked at the mirror for the first time today and I look like a ghoul. So this is just for myself. I actually did take headshots this week and they actually came out okay. I've never had good headshots before.
Was there a lot of photoshopping?
It was an aggressive ring light.
I mean, a good headshot will last you maybe even the next decade and a half.
Right. But, it's like a Tinder profile. It's like you can't
be catfished a little bit.
You can't be super misleading in 10 years that's still, hopefully I still look this way in 10 years.
Well, if you recall, I sent you my LinkedIn profile when I was starting to look for a job. And I was like, does this still look like me? Because that LinkedIn profile picture was from 2007.
What did I say?
You said, I mean, sort of.
I mean, but in essence,
like you still have the same eyes and the same hair, but it was a little bit grainier back then,
right.
So they're not as like crystal clear. So I think it passes.
I'm so happy with this headshot. I'm just like showing people. It's just like on my phone. I'm like, look at my headshot.
Yes, you did show it to me too before, just unprompted. Just like, hey, you want to see my headshot? I mean, this could be a good reason to carry around a ring light. Like some people attach it to their phones.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime they take a picture,
they're looking good.
Yeah.
Or if we could just have like passport photo booths like they have in Korea.
Yes.
Those ring lights are looking good. I would never have a bad photo.
Anyway, this is like, what, fourth week of camp?
Yeah.
How are things going for you?
Well, I realized today I was doing the morning routine and getting my kid off to camp that I couldn't remember the last time I washed her water bottle.
Dear God. That is so disgusting.
Okay, we have this like a Pure filter and it has like a little knob where you can turn it on and off and the water comes out of the spout. And it's like next to our windows. And we realized really recently, I looked inside, I was like, it was green.
Huh?
And I looked closely and the bottom of the container had like a film of like green algae.
That's great, guys, because I've come over to their house every weekend and we've been guzzling water out of that thing. Okay, cool.
I mean, the water tastes good though. Does it not taste fresh?
My daughter loves it. She's always at that faucet.
It's basically like a green algae that forms if like water is sitting in sunlight a lot, but it's not great. And I'm pretty sure it could lead to diarrhea and all the things, but it has not. Like, I enjoy our water. You've enjoyed our water. Yeah. Anyway, so I threw that out.
I mean, could that be why I'm coughing so much?
So that made me a little bit more conscious about how often I'm washing these water bottles that we're using day in and day out, these reusable water bottles.
Yes.
And I was like, I've been like shaking them. And if they're full, I just leave them.
Oh my God. Okay.
So anyway, today I have to go through all of our water bottles. And usually it's just like a rinse. To me, it's just like water is water.
I know.
It's like doesn't need a scrub. It just needs like to be rinsed.
Yeah, but imagine all the bacteria from their mouth going into it.
There's that TikTok of that Stanley cup. Have you seen that one where the woman opens it up and she's like, there's like black mold in there?
Yes.
We use Owalas.
But also people on TikTok were having this issue with Owala because there's a small little silicone piece, maybe like on the cap. They realized there was mold and they had this cough, like this crazy cough for weeks, and they finally cleaned it off and it was, their cough disappeared. And that's why I've been wondering, like, is there something in my water that is making, not your guys' water, but I, like, even us, we have a water filter thing, you know? And I'm like, is that what is causing this cough? Because it's been lasting for so long.
Oh, so I should check my Owala. I
never take it out. I'm double checking my water bottle because this may be where I'm getting sick.
Well, your lid is black, so that's tough.
Well, also the black lid is supposed to be so toxic for you.
There's something about that plastic?
Any black plastic is made with material that is just really toxic. I don't know.
No.
So now I'm like, what?
Nothing's safe.
Nothing.
Even I was reading the PFAs in our canned like sparkling drinks.
Yes.
Oh, it's so
I know.
Terrible.
So now I don't buy LaCroix because that's supposed to be terrible for you. Like all
it's
the
like
top
one of the
ones.
Worst. Yeah.
Topo Chico, Waterloo, all of them.
Anyway, so I'm going to go wash my water
Please
bottle.
Do that. Please. I've had quite a morning because we dropped my son off and there was a range nearby. So my husband and I went to go hit some balls. Then I came home, finished watching some episodes while working out to this workout called Bikini Body Guy. Do you remember this?
Yeah, BBG. This is BBG from like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It was an actual guide and I
had it. Oh, it's a PDF.
I printed that PDF and put it in a folder. Like that's how old school this is.
Oh my gosh. I remember doing it to prep for my wedding, which was, my wedding was 9 years ago. So that was about 10 years ago that I was doing this workout. And similarly, I printed it out, maybe even had it like wire bound, but I don't know where that went.
It was like a Bible to us. For
yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that thing. But that was the last time that I felt really good about my body. So this is why I'm like, one of our mutual friends was telling me that she's turning 40. She's just felt so out of control. So this is now what she's doing. So I felt inspired. It's only been 3 days.
Right. It's a resurgence of BBG for all of us who are now turning 40 when this was a thing in our 20s. Everything comes around again.
Yeah.
I was just reading the New York Times. Yeah. They had a great article about like three simple ways to test your fitness. And the most interesting test that I've now seen in multiple places is the grip test. So basically your grip strength in your hands is very highly correlated with things like heart and respiratory disease, even cancer and like reductions in mortality. So I'm going to try this, but the exercise that you have to test yourself is to basically just hang from a bar. It's not even to do a pull-up. You're just supposed to hang from a bar. And so for women, you should be getting up to more than 40 seconds hanging on a bar, which doesn't seem that hard, but I've done it before and I feel like my arms are going to fall off.
So, we should do this next time we have a gathering.
Yeah. So they're saying to improve it, you should just be like, while you're walking around your house, like carry around some weights. Mm. And you're trying to like work up how much weight you can just carry in your hands. We know who has a strong grip on Sol and Sanjay's hearts. We have episodes 9 and 10 today. We ended episode 8 badly for Sanjay.
So dramatic.
It was 2023. Sol and Sanjay reunited on the bridge with her yellow umbrella this time. And she basically bothered him all night long. And then they confessed to each other. They had
this is so cute. The text messaging, the 8 calls in a row, you know. But I also was thinking, like, where are we going to go from here?
Well, we're going to see.
These writers, they keep us on the edge of our seats.
At the end of episode 8, Sanjay was attacked in his hotel. It's the same scene from the first death where he's on the balcony of his hotel. This time he's not depressed and thinking about jumping. He gets a doorbell ringing.
Yep.
And he gets attacked and sent to the hospital. That's how we ended episode 8.
Yes.
So he seemed alive at that point. We weren't sure what was going on. We're in episode 9.
He's hooked up to a bunch of machines.
He's
maybe
still
in a
alive.
Coma. Yeah, he is alive.
But he basically was attacked by the cabbie in the hotel. And it seems like he was stabbed with a knife.
Yes.
So in terms of timeline clarification, I feel like we start every episode with clarification. I was like, why is this cabbie out? But I'm getting confused with all of the different instances of when the cabbie has attacked Sol.
Right.
You know, the first incident was the cabbie ran her over. She lost the use of her legs. The second time the cabbie attacks her on the same reservoir area, she gets abducted, but she runs away because now she's smarter because she's her future self. And she gets saved. But
Sanjay saves her.
Sanjay saves her and bad boy detective's dad like finds her on the road. Right. So then the cabbie goes and she switches her mind back to old self. So actually that girl never reported the abduction because she didn't remember it.
Yeah.
Actually, the abduction only lives in future soul's mind.
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't live in the past. So we see that the caddie didn't go to jail. And then, so it turns out, he gets her again. So he doesn't get her on the bridge this time in the reservoir. He gets her in this like abandoned factory.
In 2009.
So a year
has
passed.
She's already in college. And he must have, I think that similarly, he had the taxi had come to her house or something. Mm-hmm. And her books were all over the street. He had taken her to this abandoned construction site. Sanjay, of course, finds the books and starts calling her.
He now knows her because he knows 2023 soul and they had all those memories. But the soul that's living in this timeline
in 2009
doesn't know him.
Ah.
So I don't think they've been friends because she has woken up and she doesn't remember him. But he knows her a lot.
Yeah.
And so he's seeing her books.
But he has her number. So he's calling her phone and then he hears her screaming. So he's able to find her and she's being chased by this man. This creepy cabbie, he attacks the creepy cabbie, and then the creepy cabbie is taken off to prison.
Right. So he's in jail because Sanjay saved Soul in the warehouse. But because of this, he saves her life again. But again, this girl in 2009 doesn't know Sanjay. She's like, seeing you scares me. I don't want to see you anymore.
And she says, seeing you scares me because it reminds me of that incident.
Right. So that's why cabbie is after Sanjay. So in 2023, Sanjay getting attacked is by the cabbie who's coming back for vengeance against putting him in jail.
Right.
And now it's technically Soul's fault.
This is, I can guarantee that like 80% of the people who watch this could not have tracked what was happening.
I know. I'm almost like beautiful minding it on my whiteboard being like, okay, so this happened in this town and then this, and then this shows up there. So Soul has not achieved what she has meant to achieve. He's still not dead. So he's a little bit better off than he was prior, but
so
she wants to rectify this.
Is it possible though that she could wait to see what happens, or is she like bound by a certain time that she has to go? Because I was like, he may come back alive and you guys are in such a good place and this would be the perfect story right here. But why did she feel so compelled to go at that time? Do you think she had to because of the watch?
I don't think so. I don't think that's been insinuated that there's like a time bound to which she can go back.
She just
back.
Has one chance.
Yeah, and it's risky. Like, you don't know. So you're going to try as soon as you can, I'd say, right? It's like, you know, buying stuff on sale. It's like, you don't know. It could sell out. You should just do it today. It could go down lower, but you've got to do it when you see it.
Great analogy. Exactly the same. But she then goes back to the hotel room that he was staying at, where, again, is a security guard. She's rummaging through all of his stuff.
Yes. Yeah. How does she get in? Yeah. She doesn't know his passcode. Anyway, she's in his stuff, desperately searching for this
watch.
I really felt the scene. Oh. Like, true panic, because if she can't find this watch, this is it.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the watch. She's looking all over his house. He can't find the watch. In-hyuk comes in.
Yeah. And this was heart-wrenching because he was like, it's because of you.
Yeah.
He tried to save you and this guy now is coming to attack him.
Yeah. And like, what is with this watch?
Yeah.
And she is so bound by the fact that she can't tell anybody what she's really trying to do and her intentions that may look crazy. So no watch to be found, but then she sees in the crime photos from 2009, the watch was in the evidence. So it's actually been in her house the entire time.
Yes.
Of course, she's looking for it. She can't find it. Granny comes wearing it. Basically, Granny again. The
Granny,
spirit.
Who probably had poor grip strength.
Very poor grip strength.
She has dementia.
We should have been testing that earlier. She's got the watch on. Soul grabs it. Boom. She's back. She's
and
in 2009.
In college. I love this. Obviously, everything before that was very tragic and like serious. But I love that they're also doing this bounce back to different stages in life, not back to the original high school, which I would have been like, okay, kind of been there, done that. College, a whole different scene.
Sanjay is a college boy.
Yes, he's the jock.
He's wearing a varsity jacket. He's wearing hoodies under bomber jackets.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Oh, he looks
so good.
He looks so good in a hoodie.
Yes.
And I think hoodies get a bad rap in the Bay Area because it's so associated.
Prominent everywhere and wealthy people are wearing it and you look slobby.
Yeah. And you're like, it's like the software engineer's uniform.
Yes.
And like they all have, you know, like a logo of a stupid tech company on it. And it's like so limp and like no one washes it because they're like engineers. And so they're just like.
It's pilling.
Oh, but his hoodies.
But with that varsity jacket.
Oh, so good.
But also it looks like. He got into, they call it Yeon's Hallday, which I think is a play on Yeon's Hae, which is the really prestigious school. We know he had terrible grades, so I don't know how he got in there.
Well, he's in the PE department.
Yes, right.
It's like applying for geography as a major, you know, in yeah. college, like geography majors get in. Ugh, loving Sanjay, college boy.
Yep.
To confuse the timeline nonsense even more, we now have to remember some dates. So when she lands back, she looks on her phone. It's March 17th, 2009. According to the original police records, the date of the 2009 like warehouse assault was May 10th, 2009. So we've got about a month and a half for her to kind of be leisurely and hanging out because she knows it's not going to happen until May.
Yeah.
We do see Cabby's on the prowl. He's around. I think her full-on mission is to help the police find this guy yeah. so that he doesn't come and attack Sanjay anytime in the future.
Right.
So now that we've kind of gotten the like lay of the land, we have our retreat episode. A K-drama trope.
Yes.
Is that there is always a retreat of some kind. It's a work retreat.
Well, so this thing is called an MT. And you could use it in the context of college. You could use it in the context of church. You could use it in the context of work. And I looked it up and it said actually the Konglish translation is membership training. So that's why they call it MT.
Oh.
But I think what it is too is that, especially in college, people don't live on the dorms. Usually you live with your parents if you're from Seoul. And so you don't have a place to gather with other people. And you can't foster the same kinds of relationships by living in the dorms and going to parties. So they go to these retreats because that's their opportunity to kind of drink and hang out and be together. I mean, they did this in Marry My Husband at the work retreat, and it is known for becoming a drinking fest.
And there are all these very Korean games, drinking games.
If you went to church retreat, you could also play these games. This is very prevalent in Korean culture. These two episodes were a lot of just filler.
Yes.
But there were so many funny moments.
The games are ridiculous. They're very specifically Korean, I have to say.
They are. I am curious, like, why that is. But maybe it's because of this culture. Like, you go to these MTs and, you know, you want to make it interesting.
Yeah, like, I was part of this is going to sound lame 20 years later. I was a part of a business fraternity in college, and we used to do these types of things.
Super cool.
So cool. I was the coolest. But, you know, like, maybe there's card games.
Yeah.
There's no, I think in American, maybe like frat culture and drinking culture, there isn't as much of these like established drinking games that everybody knows that everyone plays. For the group, yeah.
But so these games never infiltrated to your business frat?
No. Because everybody has to learn very specifically yeah. certain moves, and you really have to like teach people and you have to practice.
And it's actually quite cheesy.
And they're very right? cheesy. It's very hard to...
Like the 007 one is you just point 007, whoever gets a 7, the people next to you have to go bang and lift their hands up. So it's quite childish, but it is so fun. Yeah, so what were your highs and lows?
So my low was the retreat itself.
Oh, it was?
I'm just like, there's just so much time spent on these games yeah. and kind of like the hazing that's happening with that one bully guy. I did find it hilarious that he kept swallowing his mouthwash. And she's like, why are you holding so much mouthwash in your mouth?
Oh, the low?
And then there was another diarrhea.
Yeah, the diarrhea scene wasn't the low.
That's another low. He gets caught in a porta potty. And the door swings open while the girls are passing and he's shitting on a pot and everyone sees him and laughs. I mean, it's such a Korean thing.
It's so Korean. Koreans love to talk about diarrhea.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I think the whole retreat for me, and you know, it's such a device in these K-dramas to basically get our two leads stuck in one place. So they yep. have to interact.
Yes.
But yeah, my low light was just the nonsense of the retreat because it's kind of a waste of time. But what was yours?
Gosh, I mean, I felt like both episodes had a lot of nonsense. Like nothing really happened. Not a whole lot happened to advance the storyline. I thought the retreat and the bathroom were funny, but I also thought they were just
I mean, some of the interactions with the brother.
Oh, the brother.
He adds no value.
Oh, and then another low was when they were in that bar in episode 10 and Seoul crawls under the table to get her coins just to see, she presumes, Sunjae and this other girl kissing. I'm like, what is the point of all of this?
We got to get Jiltu in here.
Yeah.
The jealousy Jiltu concept.
There is none of that. Well, there is between Sunjae and Taesung.
Like slightly.
Yeah.
But we always have to have a scene where the girl and the guy pretend to be jealous over something nonsensical. So highlights, the end of episode 9. Of course, she like gets drunk at this retreat and wanders off into a boar enclosure. This is the second time now.
Yeah. Do you think they were inspired by Queen of Tears?
Or maybe there's just a lot of boars out there.
Oh, well, you got to have that pork butt.
Sure do. So he, of course, follows her and she's drunk. And I think it was a really great way for him to start putting the pieces together. He takes her drunkenly on his back to walk her home from this outdoor tent scenario. And she's very drunk. And she starts humming.
Yes.
The Eclipse Rain Shower song. And he's like, where did you hear that song? Because he is at that moment in 2009 just writing it.
Yep.
And he's never played it for anybody.
Other than Inyok, his friend.
And he's like, where'd you hear that song? And she's like, this time I'm going to change it before I go back to the future.
Yeah.
Where I came from. So great. It was so just like the perfect breadcrumbing for him to figure out what he ultimately figures out at the end of episode 10. So I thought that whole scene and the whole setup of the song connecting them through time was a great conceit.
This was kind of a minor highlight for me, but the Taesung and Sunjae scene where they were helping Seol's family because they had a water leak and they were putting these buckets above their head and it just became like a macho alpha guy contest. And they'd be like one-handed rolling up their shirt and then they get into a tussle. I guess on one hand, it didn't really help the storyline, but I think they both have really good chemistry together, the two of them. And then when Taesung eventually is like, fool, what are you jealous of me for? The girl only cares about you.
Why would she ask me to protect you in the future and not her? Another breadcrumb for him to think about. I think every scene that bad boy Taesung is in is my highlight.
Ugh.
He's so good.
I love him too because he's such a, you know, he comes off really hard. He looks a little bit like he'd be rough, but he's so soft.
It's unfortunate because like there just isn't more for him to do. So we kind of miss him in a lot of episodes. He doesn't really come through. I do think it's great because she has at least changed his fate.
Right, because she had told him earlier on like, hey, study, do well, like don't give up on your life. And I think there was some insinuation that he like was just a loser
and
in the original
drop out. Yeah.
Yeah. But he ended up graduating high school because she told him, take care of your life.
Yeah. The biggest highlight for these two episodes, and it starts in episode 10, she tells Sunjae that she's from the future.
I mean, who would believe that if I was like, I'm here from the future?
And they're like, prove it. And she's like, I can't. Time stops.
Yep.
Sunjae takes all this as an excuse from her to avoid him.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to go to LA and rehab my arm. And that date gets pulled up very quickly.
Yeah. So initially, he actually wasn't going to go to LA. He just said that to her because he wanted to make her feel like she couldn't have a chance with him. You know, he's like, he's already made his mind. He's going to go. But he actually hadn't.
Or he's also wishing she'll say stay.
Yeah.
And in fact, she does the opposite because she wants him out of the country, away from the cabbie when the whole assault happens because she knows she can take care of herself. Like she doesn't need him to save her.
Right.
Keep your fate out of this situation.
Yes.
There's a lot of heartbreaks in these episodes actually for Sunjae because he is being very vulnerable. He asks her outside her house, have you in any timeline liked me?
And she says no.
Just to his face.
But she's like crying while she says it, which I feel like if he was astute enough, should pick up that maybe she did have feelings, but she can't admit it for whatever reason.
He's off to the airport. He's packed. He's ready to go.
And you know, his dad, there's an important scene where he's like, you know, the gochujang is all wrapped up. You know, like many people I know will try to take the gochujang through the security and they get stopped.
Why would you ever want to carry that on your carry-on?
I mean, like, let's say you don't want to check it in. So you put it on your carry-on. And I think it happened to my mother-in-law and she was like very upset about it. But, you know, Koreans got to have their gochujang everywhere they go.
Is it like you want in your backpack so you can start dipping your airplane chips
exactly.
in there?
Exactly. Your Ritz crackers in there.
Yeah. Never be without your gochujang.
Yeah. And then the other heartbreak is that's like, I got to go. Gotta go get on the plane, okay? Get out of here.
Wait, where was he such a hurry?
He said he has like a new meat purveyor at his restaurant. He had to get going.
I mean, this dad, you can see where he's coming from. Like he's kind of being a tiger dad about it. Like this is my son's last chance. But there's so much of his pride wrapped up in Sunjay's success.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Isn't that all parents?
I know. So isn't that the fate that we all want to avoid as parents? Is like our self-worth is based on our kid's success, even though it's clearly maybe not what they want.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting conversation. We were with a bunch of parents last weekend. We were talking about kind of like all the activities everybody's doing. And every single kid's activities were a reflection of what the parents want them to do or are interested in themselves. Like one kid, his dad plays the violin. So he's like, yeah, obviously I brainwashed him to play the violin. And then my husband, of course, is like, yeah, I like just inculcate his mind with all this like golf stuff so that he'll become obsessed with golf, you know? And I was like, oh, isn't that funny? We're all just like trying to live out our unfulfilled dreams in our children. Kind of the tragedy of parenthood, because you see like so much of the things that you want for your kids, but a lot of times it's not what they want.
Right. Yeah. So Sanjay's dad, it's hard to watch him push Sanjay so hard.
Because he wants him to go back to swimming. Right?
He's desperate to do it.
It doesn't seem like Sanjay has a whole lot of quivers in his pack. What is he going to become? Like a physical trainer?
Well, I mean, he could go with Inhyuk.
Yeah, but his dad doesn't know that yet. He doesn't know he has his talent.
So one of the things that also happens in this timeline is that he does not go to the Superstar K TV talent showcase. Ugh. So he is not part of Eclipse.
Yeah, but they play his song.
Yes.
The Rain Shower, the one that he wrote, that we have seen come up several times through all of the different lifelines. But I was really surprised. I thought he would show up.
I thought so too. Yeah, so in this lifetime, he is not a member of Eclipse.
Yes, so then there was like so you first see 2023, there is a clip of a news person announcing Sanjay was attacked by this cabbie and he's in critical condition. And then, you know, there's like a glitching of the TV. And then suddenly you see Eclipse has released their fifth album and there's only three members.
Only three members. My note on that one was, is it only three members because he never joined Eclipse? Or is it only three members because Sanjay's dead? Like end of this timeline, Sanjay will also be dead. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. That didn't occur to me. I just thought he... just is not did. Part of the group and maybe now coaches swim or something. But I was curious whether you think it would have been better for Seol to just like admit, like she's so adamant about pushing him away to the point that I wonder like maybe that's going to make him depressed. Like he's so in love with you. Like you, if he's within your protection, that could also be good for him. She only sees one path and that is, get him away from me so that he doesn't get attacked by this cabbie.
So yes, I mean, it's heartbreaking because she's to his face being like, get away from me. Yeah. And her heart is like, stay with me forever. So the big ending, we see Sanjay is at the airport. His dad's like, take the gochujang. I'm going home. See you later. Good luck, kid. But
then we see
Seol. She's in front of her house. She turns around. Sanjay's there.
Yep. Oh, I got like, they say in Korean, 소름 돋았어, which is I got goosebumps.
He's like perfectly standing under the lamplight. Like they're both lit so well from above. They just look so gorgeous. Yeah. It's like my headshot, guys. There's like a truck of doom possibly. I mean, this girl's very skittish around all trucks of doom
well,
now.
Well, I mean, now when I go to Korea, if I see that truck, I am getting out of the way.
Right. He hugs her and she's like, why are you here? Why, you Pablo, just like leave me alone. And he's figured it out.
He's not such a dumb jock after all.
No, we have a little smarty college boy here.
He asks her, do I die in 2023?
He gets a signal at the airport about the time capsule. He's kind of putting it all together, all the pieces, all the breadcrumbs that they laid in these two episodes for him, because he goes to get the time capsule, sees the watch, reads the note.
Yep.
Which is very coded to be, thank you for being alive.
Yes.
He says, if I die saving you, it's okay. I don't care. Are they the most romantic words ever spoken? But also, really, guy? You're just going to die for this girl?
Eye roll. I guess when you're like 19 or 20, that seems like...
it's the most important thing in the world.
But wait till you're 40, okay? You'd be like, write it on a piece of paper. What stock should I buy?
Yeah. It's also... like, she's not looking so cute, I think, that her Luke in college.
Yeah.
The bangs are still
there.
The hair is like crimpy curly.
What I do love about this show, though, is that she's not that cute. I mean, she's cute. She's not like a Kim Ji-won that we just saw in Queen of Tears.
She's not like stunning.
She's not stunning, but...
but it makes her believable.
It makes her so believable. And I really love it.
I think for him, he is actually kind of stunning, but in a very real way. He's not perfect like Kim Soo-hyun, where he's almost like unattainable, right? Like this one.
This one, I've seen guys that kind of look like him, but his skin is really nice. His hair is nice. So he looks great in a varsity jacket.
And they pair well together. Their looks look good together.
Yes.
I love both of them in 2023. Her specifically looks so much better in 2023 than she does in high school and college. But I think that's also a great part on the writers. Like, she's not just equally gorgeous in every timeline, you know? And he still loves her.
I know. I could have, in like a real life scenario, he probably would have been with a girl like the one at the bar in the booth that was trying to kiss him. That's the kind of girl that I could see him with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then they end episode 10 with a kiss. He takes his hand and frames her face. I love that kind of kiss. Oh, you know, the hold your face kind of kiss.
There's a lot of kissing in this.
So much kissing.
More than we have seen ever.
Love it so much. We've gotten a kiss in every timeline now.
Yes.
We have a high school kiss.
Yes.
We've had the future 2023 kiss in the doorway.
Oh my gosh,
and now we have the college kiss. Every timeline.
Now, are we going to fast forward to like 2050 and then we'll get an 80-year-old kiss?
I want all the kisses. Okay. Yeah. So that was the big ending. We now still have about a month's worth of time before this second abduction situation is going to happen.
Yep.
So I'm thinking maybe the next few episodes are again going to be a little bit filler of just like, what are we going to do in between now and the second
in
abduction?
May. Mm-hmm. Right. We'll take it.
We will. Absolutely
I like this kind of filler.
Me. Okay. I could use a little less.
A little less diarrhea.
A little less diarrhea. A little bit more plot movement, but I will take it all. Oh, yeah. The other only thing that was insane in this episode, again, was the best friend's hair. Best friend's college hair.
Well, it's pressed now, right? So it's not as poofy. It's not a mushroom. It's like a deflated mushroom.
It's like she put curlers only on the bottom. Huge curlers on the bottom, and then she took them out and she's been walking around. And she's in this life still going after the brother.
Yeah. And Seol, I love it. She's looking at her best friend. It's like, you can do better.
I know. She can. He's a loser. The only other thing I noted was how fun it must be to, in high school, live across the alley or like the street from your crush.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
In like American TV shows, it reminds me of Dawson's Creek. But the difference being in this one, they're just staring at each other's like closed windows. That's all they get. In Dawson's Creek, like straight up Joey was like climbing into Dawson's window. Jeez. Just like a floozy. I did love Dawson's Creek. Mm. I got laid off last year. And for like the week after I got laid off, when I just like didn't know what to do with myself, for the entire week, I just sat around watching YouTube supercuts.
Oh my God.
Of Joey and Pacey moments from Dawson's Creek. That like got me through that first week. So thank you to Dawson's Creek. But yeah, such a different vibe for high school romance in this show.
This one's much more innocent. Did you have a neighbor that you had a crush on, or like was your age that you had some potential with?
Oh, 100%. We had a neighbor across the street. It was like a few houses down, so it wasn't directly. You can't see into their house.
You couldn't jump into each other's windows.
No, but he was very cute, but he had like zero personality. And we never went to school together, so we just didn't cross paths.
Right.
And you?
Too bad. Well, when I was really young, I lived in this neighborhood. This person was not right next to me, but in the neighborhood. And we were very young, so it's not like we had a crush on each other, but we would hang out all the time. It's kind of like my son and your daughter. That was a good time.
I do love this rain shower song, I have to say. The music is really catching up to me. And so I looked it up. I was like, who is actually singing this? And so it's listed in Spotify as Eclipse.
It's him, isn't
it's
it?
It's him. Yeah. It looks, it sounds really good.
There is this phenomenon where a lot of these lead actors will do the OST, kind of like Queen of Tears.
Multi-talented.
I also think it's because in Korea, they all have to sing as part of their curriculum.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like you have choir.
Oh, there's definitely more of a singing and dancing culture in Korea. This last trip, we were out camping with my in-laws family. They kept like asking my daughters to like get in front of everybody and sing.
Oh, really?
Or dance. Yeah. But it just felt like that's what they do. And so like the older cousins who are like teenagers, like got in front of us and like did dance.
Really?
Routines. Yeah. But it was felt so just like, oh, yeah, yeah, just go dance and sing.
That's so normal. Like, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, but there's definitely a dancing, singing culture.
Well, today is the last day of one of the camps that my daughter's going to, and they said that they're going to bring a karaoke machine.
Oh, fun.
And I was like, oh, you better watch out because you got a mic hog over here. She's going to take that and not let anyone else sing. So maybe it just runs deep in her blood.
Yeah, and also, where do you think she learned that
from? Oh, yeah,
from?
Yeah, she got it from her mom. Apple doesn't fall far from that tree.
Okay, so that was Lovely Runner episodes 9 and 10. Next week we have episodes 11 and 12. Hope you are enjoying the show as much as we are, loving these great moments. Go and listen to the show album on Spotify. It'll get your heart beating on your drive to work. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.